Sometimes, you know, you could just go home now and have been ministered to. And, but don't get your hopes up. We're going to have a lesson. If we did, we would just end with questions, wouldn't we? Is there somebody out there? Welcome to all of our visitors. We thank you for coming and being with us today. If I have not met you, I would love to. Thank you for worshiping. We know that God wants to do some great things in your life. We want to be a part of that. Bless you. We're in our series, and let's pray before we get started on it, though. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, I ask you to bless us. But I pray that you will open our ears of understanding so that we can hear what the Spirit has to say. Father, I pray that as we minister your word, that, Lord, it will come out and it'll fall upon good soil, and it will produce much fruit, fruit that remains, fruit that gives us understanding as we approach and go through life. Father, I pray today for myself that I'll be able to share this truth effectively. And that, Lord, I'll not talk too fast or too slow. And no one will go to sleep, but we'll go out of here with some understanding about what you're doing in the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In our series is called Tough Questions. We're asking tough questions. We've dealt with some things like, does God exist? We've dealt with things like last time we talked with, what about hell? Is hell real or is hell just a myth? Today we're dealing with a tough one too, and today's tough question is this. Here's my title. Why do bad things happen to good people? We want to prepare us. Maybe you've asked this question yourself, or maybe you've had people to come and ask you these kinds of things. If God is good, then why do all these bad things happen to good people? So we're going to be dealing with this today. You see, with this question, what we're really doing is we're separating people. We're putting people into one of two categories. We're saying they're either good or they're bad. And so we're asking, you know, why are good things happening to good people? And what we're really saying as we project that question or even think that thing, we're saying that what God should do is intervene in lives. And what he should do is, in my life, because I'm a good person, we always think that we're good, then nothing bad should happen in my life. All bad things should happen to bad people. Nothing bad should happen to we, us Christians, and all the bad stuff should happen to those sinners, those bad sinners. So we tend to go there. So what we need to first do is get a perspective on good and bad. So let me do this with you. Jesus was teaching his disciples one day. They were walking along, and up came running this guy who the Bible refers to as the rich young ruler. And he projected Jesus a question, but here's what the guy said. He says, good master, or what that was is good teacher. And here's what Jesus replied, which seemed to be really out of context. But Jesus was adjusting thinking just like he's going to adjust our thinking today. Mark chapter 10 and verse 18 says this, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good. Now I need you to help me today. I need you to stay awake and work with me. Would you say that back to me? No one is good. Say that, please. No one is good. No one is good except God alone, Jesus said. Now that might be offensive to us because we consider ourselves good people. But what Jesus was doing here was adjusting thinking. And you see, what he was really doing was saying, listen, in all of us, in everyone, there are some things that aren't so good. There are some bad things in everybody. So let me put it this way. What if God was to remove all bad things from the earth right today at 12 o'clock noon, high noon, today at 12 o'clock, God removed all bad things. How many of us would be here at 12:01? You see, and this is what Jesus is saying. Listen, you know, when you're thinking good and bad, you got to adjust your thinking. Now, I know that Jesus said, listen, don't call people good or don't call people bad because there's only one good. But for the sake of our study and the sake of trying to get a handle on this tough question, let's do it. Let's just say good and bad just so we'll have an avenue and all be on the same page. You see, what we're expecting God to do is intervene for us because we consider ourselves good and not intervene for bad people. So let me tell you a story. I had a brother-in-law. His name was Jimmy. And Jimmy was what we would all consider a good person. He was a good husband. He loved his children. But Jimmy was diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer. And cancer began to take Jimmy's life rapidly. So he was dying, and Judy was down there one day talking with her sister, visiting her sister, and they were sitting at a table, and Jimmy was sitting there, and he looked at Judy, and he said, Judy, why did God do this to me? Well, Judy wasn't going to let Jimmy off the hook and let Jimmy think that God had done that to him. and for something that Jimmy had done to himself. And so what Judy said to him was, Jimmy, God didn't do this to you. Jimmy, you have smoked cigarettes since you were 13 years old. God didn't do this to you. You did this to yourself. I remember the last time that I had any real time with Jimmy. We were in his den, and he only had a few more weeks to live. And I remember him sitting there in our time of conversation, and Jimmy was still smoking cigarettes. Though he was dying with cancer, he was still smoking cigarettes. You see, we got to understand that God wasn't judging Jimmy. Jimmy did this to himself. We need to realize that in most questions that we ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And when we ask that question, we're going to find out that most of those things are traceable. You can trace them back to a reason. God's not judging you with your finances. You're not having financial difficulty because God is judging you. You've spent too much money. You've gotten yourself in debt. God's not judging you with your spouse. You may have married an idiot. Or you may need to fix some things in your life. You know, you may have known better than to do this. But what my point is that with most bad things that happen to good people, when you look back at those things, you'll find you can trace them back as to why they are really, really happening. Let's look at something else. There is sometimes extreme poverty in life. And people have disease, and they have starvation. Is God judging these like third world countries? You know, we see the starving children, we see the starving babies and starving people. Is God judging those people and countries, or is there a traceable reason? You see, usually in those countries, if you will look and trace it back, you'll find a corrupt dictator. You'll find a dictator who is taking all the money that should be going to the people and providing for the people, but instead this corrupt dictator is taking it for his own self-interest, for his own power. He's not starving. He's living in big palace. He's not starving. He's driving in these huge automobiles and flying in helicopters and jet airplanes. The people, though, are in poverty. And so what poverty always breeds and gives away to is disease, and then you move into starvation. See, it's not God judging people. What is happening is that there's some traceable reason that these things are happening. I was down in Haiti not very long ago, and I saw this for my own self. I saw it in my own eyes. I saw little pot-belly babies that were in malnutrition, their hair falling out, and all these bad things happening to them. But I watched at the same time drive by every day the president's palace. And when we look at things logically, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we'll always find out that there's a reason for things to be happening. We want God, though, to intervene for us, right? We used to live in Middle Georgia. And at this particular time, my daughter, Bonnie, was about 10 years old. And she was in a beauty pageant. And we were sitting there watching this beauty pageant on this little rise. And I saw this other grandmother and mother who also had a granddaughter and a daughter in this beauty pageant. I watched them join hands and pray in Jesus' name that their daughter would win. And I thought about, well, what about my daughter? And by the way, my daughter won. Not because she was gooder. Not because she was gooder. Let me use that word once. It's not because she was gooder than their daughter and granddaughter, but because she was prettier. She was the most beautiful woman out, the girl out there. It still is, but kidding kind of, you know. But you know what I'm talking about. See, there are usually reasons when you trace back. God's not going to intervene in those kinds of things. You watch a sporting event, and you watch this team pray and this team pray. What's God going to do? You see, we got to realize that usually when bad things happen, there's usually reasons that we can trace those things back to. Another traceable reason that bad things happen to good people is that God created us with deep urges and instincts. And when people don't bridle those things, when people don't bridle those base desires and base needs, they become perverted. And from that perversion comes homosexuality. From those perversions come rape, come incest, comes child molestations, comes anger and murder, comes theft and robbery and all of these horrible things. Well, is God judging a society with these things, or is there a traceable reason that these things happen? I think there's a traceable reason. And we see it in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. It says there, for from within, out of a person's heart, from where? From God? From where? From within, from a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. Say that back to me, please. All these, not from God. God's not judging the society. People have allowed themselves to go unbridled and undisciplined, and all of these things start happening. Jesus goes on and says, they are what defile you and make you unacceptable to God. And what Jesus is making sure that these people understood, this isn't coming from God. This is coming from within. It's not because they didn't do some silly religious ceremony that these things are happening. These things are happening because of the wickedness from within. You see, we can trace these things back. Why do bad things happen to good people? There are several reasons. Let's look at one more, or another, traceable reason as to why bad things happen to good people. We understand there are geological forces. Now, what I mean by that is the earth is created, and it was created with faults. There are earth faults in its crust, and when it separates under the stress or whatever, when it separates, this causes earthquakes. You don't make a decision to live on a bad fault. Also, volcanoes. Volcanoes happen as the lava begins to heat up, and over a period of time, it's going to erupt. You don't build your house at the base of a volcano, right? Atmospheric pressures collide and cause hurricanes and tornadoes. And these things happen, you see? And it's not God judging it. This is how the earth works. In 2004... on December the 26th, there was a 9.3 scale earthquake that happened in the Indian Ocean. The largest earthquake that's ever been recorded. It created this great wave called the tsunami. And this tsunami ran through countries. It was so large and so massive. Over 200,000 people died because of that tsunami. In my time of studying and preparation for this, I ran across a quote that was taken from the Globe, and it was very interesting to me, and I wanted to read it to you. It was from a boy who lived in Indonesia, a young boy, and here's what he said. We're Muslims. We believe God did this because God is testing us. We don't understand God's reasons, but we trust in God. Wow. What a God. Yay, God. People blamed God for that tsunami. On August the 29th of 2005, there was a Category 5 hurricane that people named Katrina. It came inland with 160 mile per hour winds, water, rain, and a wave. It came inland in the Louisiana Gulf Coast area, and the city of New Orleans flooded because a levee broke. From that hurricane, 1,325 people lost their lives. I don't know about you, but I was getting emails talking about how God was judging the wicked city of New Orleans and that whole area because of the casinos and all of that stuff. Well, what about the good people? What about the good people that live there? My daughter-in-law's mother lives in that area. She's been serving God as long as I have and as long as you have. What about her? What about the good people that live in these third world countries that starve? What about them? Is God judging them? Let me ask you a question. Where was God in the Katrina? Where was God in the tsunami? Was God in the wave of the tsunami that killed those 200,000 people? Was God in the 160 mile an hour winds and the rain and the floods of New Orleans? Was God in that, or was God in the millions, nearly billions of hands that were reaching out to try to help these people? They go down there to see her mom and her relatives. They go down there. They come back. You know what? They have been given so much stuff. There is stuff sitting around in parking lots because they have been given so much stuff from people trying to help. Where was God? Was God judging or was God saving? Let me try to bring it into somewhere that we can really look at it a little bit closer. One more point on the Katrina issue before I leave it. What's amazing to me about that is 5 days before Katrina hit, the meteorologist was saying, this is a Category 5. You can't handle a Category 5. Evacuate, evacuate, evacuate. Listen, those 1,325 people decided not to evacuate. God didn't keep them there, right? They stayed there on their own free cognizance and will. That's what happened to them. And what my point in this is that most, I repeat, most of the bad things that happened to you and me and the bad things that happened to good people is because of bad decisions made by good people. Good people make bad decisions and bad things happen from those bad decisions. It's not God judging. It's not God even allowing these things to happen. This is how it works. And most things are traceable. Now let me put a number on it. I think that 90 to 95%, and that's probably not good enough, but that'll give us something to work with. 90 to 95% of all the bad things that happen to good people are traceable. I think we can trace back. If we're honest with ourselves, we can find a reason that this particular thing took place. All right? But what about the other 5 to 10%? Where, though you may be able to trace it back to some of these things that I've talked about, you know in your heart that you're not for blame. You're not to blame here, that you haven't done anything to cause this. And all of these negative and horrible things are happening in your life or in the lives of some people that you know. What about those 5 to 10%? Well, this is where our study really gets interesting. And this is where we really do find God doing something. And there's nothing better to look at than the classic example that we're given in the Bible about Job. And if you have your Bibles, I really wish that you would be there with me right now. In the book of Job, there's a 42-chapter book, and it's very, very interesting when you're looking at it from this perspective. In Job chapter 1, in verse 1, it says this, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless." Now, you need to say that back to me, please. This man was blameless. In other words, you can't blame Job for what's about to happen. It wasn't Job's fault. He didn't do anything here. It goes on to say that Job was upright. That means he was a person of integrity. He feared God and shunned evil. Job did his life correctly. He was a good husband. He was a good father. He feared God. He was a man of integrity. But he says that he was blameless. In other words, you can't blame Job for anything that's about to happen to him. Job did it correctly. But one day, one of the people that worked for Job come running up to Job and said, "Job, the horrible thing has happened. Enemies have attacked. They've killed a lot of your folk, a lot of your people, and they've taken off a lot of your wealth." And then the Bible says this, and you'll be able to relate to this sometimes in life. The Bible says this, and that's verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of Job. And then in verse 16, it says this, "While he was still speaking," in other words, while this guy that ran up to him and told him this horrible thing had happened, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, what had happened is a fire came from nowhere. A fire came from nowhere and destroyed a lot more of Job's wealth and destroyed a lot more of Job, killed a lot more of Job's people, a fire. And then in verse 17, next verse it says, and while he was still speaking. I mean, bang, bang, bang. While he was still speaking, more enemies attacked. More enemies attacked, killed more of Job's people, and took off the rest of his wealth. He had nothing left. He lost it all. That's not bad enough. In verse 18, the next verse says, while he was still speaking. Have you ever experienced this? This is a bad thing. I mean, it just looks like it's just continuously going on. While he was still speaking. And this verse talks about how a tornado came, a whirlwind came, and killed all of Job's children. They were all in a house having a party. And all of a sudden, a whirlwind came and killed all of Job's children. Now, you would think that would be enough. And have you experienced anything like this? I mean, when's this going to end? And this is what Job was going through here. And you would think that would be plenty. What else can possibly happen? Well, it did happen. Job's body was attacked. Job said, though, first, he says, naked, in Job chapter 1, verse 21, I want you to see this. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Who did Job blame? Who did Job blame? God. Whose fault was it? Who was really doing it? All right. See, we're programmed because of bad religion to think God's doing this to us. Satan was doing it. Read the book. But Satan was being supervised by God. So this was coming, and though it wasn't enough, and you would think that Job had surely, this was enough, but it wasn't. In Job chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Satan attacked his body, Satan attacked his family, and Satan attacked his finances. This is what Job was going through, but Job was blameless. It wasn't Job's fault that any of this was happening. And the remainder of the book, the rest of the book is 42 chapters long. The remainder of the book is Job asking why. Why is this happening to me? Job's friends would come and say, Job, you got sin in your life. You know, you got those kinds of friends. They don't understand. In fact, they're kind of getting a little happy because you're having a bad time and they're not, because they're wanting you to be a bad person, you know? Well, it wasn't Job's fault. We know it wasn't God judging Job. So what's happening here? What's going on here? I want to say this, and I really want you to get this. In those 5 to 10% times, look at this. We confuse God using people with bad things happening to people. Let me say that again. We confuse God using people with bad things happening to people. Job wasn't being judged by God. Job was being used by God. See, it's like joining the military. It's like joining the armed forces. When you sign up to be used, right? And you might not like the duty, but you still got to do it. And you can't stop it. Now, in our scenarios that we're seeing here, Job couldn't stop this thing happening. He would have stopped it if he could have. He couldn't stop it. And when we sign up in the Lord's army, when we sign up and He becomes Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our lives, then we're signing up really to be used. And we might not like the duty sometimes. And we might not like some of the things that happen. But when we look at our lives and we can't find any reason that these things are happening in our lives, and we look back and we're not thinking, we're not blaming people being bad and good, and we're not thinking that God's judging in the tsunami or the earthquakes and all of the things that are going on, and we're not looking at life that way, and we're not living under a dictatorship, and we've got our lives in order, where we've bridled all those inner things, those deep things that within our hearts, and we've living a good life, and we look at our lives and still things are going bad. What we've got to come to the conclusion is, God is using me. Do we really want to be used? How many want to be used like Job was used? See, I don't want to. But God's got my experiences for me. And when I'm going through life and I'm experiencing some tough times and some bad things, I've got to say, well, look, if I got everything in order and I'm blameless, I have got to come to the conclusion that God is using me. And if I will let Him use me and take me through it and stay with God and love people and love people through it and love all the way through this thing, what God's going to do is bless me beyond my wildest thoughts and expectations. Let me read you this. This is what happened to Job in Job 42, 10 through 17. Now I'm going to read selected thoughts through here, but this is where I'm getting these verses from. In Job 42, 10 through 17. After Job had prayed for his friends, that's important, keep it right heart, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels. Now I know that's not interesting. That's, I'll make this relevant. 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 donkeys. In other words, the stock market took off for Job. All of a sudden, everything Job did, man, it prospered. God made sure that Job made the right decisions, you know. And Job was more blessed than at the end of his life than at the beginning. Reading on. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren. He saw 4 generations to the 4th generation, so he died old and full of years. This is the reward. He got a long, healthy life. He prospered financially. He got his family. He lived the great life. But what he did is allow God to use him. And when we're going through tough times, or you know people that are going through tough times, and there's no reason, and you can't trace it back, and it's a blameless situation, then you realize that God is using me. Why did bad things happen to a good person, even a blameless person like Job? Because God used him. God used him, not judged him. God's not judging people. God will use people, though. And billions of people down the road and thousands of years after Job's experience have drawn security and strength and knowing that God was there, even though they were going through a tough time and being attacked by Satan, they still had the confidence and the knowledge that God was overseeing it. And if they could go through it and make it through it, then God was going to bless them at the end. It always works this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we should know this, all things. How many things? This is the first part of this verse I want to emphasize. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. That's the second part. God's got a purpose He wants to use you for. And if we will go through it, even though it's tough, and even though it's rough, and we can't figure it out, and we're spending 42 chapters asking God why, that's okay. Because once you get through it, God's working His purpose through us. He's using us to fulfill our will and our destiny. And if we will go through it, God says He'll make it good, whether you can trace it back or whether you can't trace it back, whether it's a tsunami in your life or an earthquake or a hurricane, whatever that you may be going through. If you can keep a right heart and let God take you through it, you're going to come out of that thing so blessed. It's unbelievable. The promise is that if we love God through all the bad things, both the traceable and those that are not traceable, He will make all those things good. But we've got to realize that He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. I don't want Job's purpose. You know? Job was blameless. Now, I want to talk about a few things here. What God will do is make your dreams come true if you can go through it. For example, Joseph. Joseph went through stuff, and let me tell you, Joseph had no control over the things that he went through. Joseph, it was tough for Joseph. Joseph didn't have any control over all those things. His brothers hated him, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife lied about him. He went to prison, for several years. He had no control over those things. And Joseph was asking why. But what God did was use Joseph for His purpose and brought Joseph out of that thing, exalted Joseph, blessed Joseph, but fulfilled His purpose. And how many of us really want to have a calling and be used by God like Joseph? You want to go to jail? Want to spend years in prison? I don't want to. But I want the blessings. So why do bad things sometimes happen to good people? Sometimes it's God using them. Sometimes when bad things happen in our lives, and though we know that God's doing something in our lives and that He's really using us and He's used us powerfully, and we still ask why. You know, I know these things. And when I go through bad times, I still ask God why. And I don't think that's bad. I think God wants us to look, is there something in our life that we need to get straightened out? That's not bad. Do you know that the only time that Jesus questioned Father God was when He was going through a bad time? Worst time in His life. A cross experience. I mean, a literal cross experience. He was nailed to the cross. He asked God why. Let me show you. Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And at the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, when we're going through tough times, it really does seem like God's forsaken us. But what I want to do for you today is assure you that if you love God and you're letting God really use your life, then He's going to bring you through it and He's going to exalt you up. He's going to raise you up in the 3rd day. In other words, what I mean by that is a short period of time. It's not going to last forever. And He's going to raise you out of that thing and He's going to exalt you to your place of glory. To your place where you can experience life at its most abundant place. That's what happens when we go through bad times. But how many of us want to be used like Jesus? Oh, we'd love to do the miracles. You know, we'd love to walk on water. But we want to be nailed to the cross. Why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes it's because God is using us, not judging us, to do something spectacular. Joseph did something spectacular. Job did something spectacular. Jesus did something spectacular. And it was through bad times. So why do bad things happen to good people? I believe that 90 to 95% of all the things that happen to people, bad things, whether they're good people or bad people, can be traced. But when it's not traceable, we've got to come to the conclusion that God's doing something. And we've got to hang in there, love people, and get through it. God will bless you and me beyond our wildest dreams and expectations, like He did Joseph and Job and Jesus, if we can let Him take us through it. So, why do bad things happen? Well, let me give you one more thing. I'll end with this thought of why bad things happen to good people. It's to save people. It's to save people. Noah went through a very bad time. Remember? Big flood? It was a bad time. He spent 100 years building this ark. And then there's this tremendous flood on the earth. Tremendous flood. You know what? That saved Noah and it saved his family. But it absolutely destroyed his whole life. He had no more home. He lost all of his possessions. He had to rebuild everything. He had to totally rebuild his whole life because of that. See, but he was saved through it. I told you earlier about my brother-in-law, Jimmy. I told you that he had lung cancer and he died. But before Jimmy died, we got to pray with Jimmy and lead Jimmy to the Lord. Before Jimmy died, I got to serve Jimmy communion and have communion with Jimmy. Before Jimmy died, I got to water baptize Jimmy. See, I know today that Jimmy's not in the torment of hell that we talked about last week because of that bad thing. Jimmy probably would have been in hell had it not been for that flood in his life. So why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes it's to save them. Which would be worse, to die of cancer or to go to hell? Tough question. Tough question. Do you really want to be used by God like Joseph? So that's the real tough question. Will we let God really use us? No matter if it's traceable or if it's not traceable, if you're totally blameless, if you will realize that all things work together for good, for those that love God, and for those that are called according to His purpose, whether it's traceable or if the person's blameless, you're going to have good answers for people, and you're going to settle some things in your heart as well. God's not judging. God is saving. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You.